So how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. You remembered your lines when it came to the swearing-in ceremony?
For the most part, yes.
Saw the picture there, or one picture. You looked like you were there. A couple of the others looked like they were, didn't even all really want to even be there.
Yeah, under the circumstances, we weren't even sure we were going to have the swearing-in because of the earthquake and no power.
Well, you could have waited another week and then had another earthquake.
Yeah, but so we decided, the county decided to go ahead and move forward and do the swearing in with everybody that was there.
So you did it.
We did it.
All right. Well, formally congratulations, or formal congratulations,
well, thank
or whatever
you,
you want to say.
It.
Yeah. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That, sir?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Ah, sure.
Comma, sir. I did the sir through you, I know. All right, why do we say blue chips?
Why do we say blue chips?
With poker.
Yeah. I mean, besides that, I don't know.
Alrighty. By the time poker became standardized, tiles were beginning to replace the earlier tokens, chips of wood. The color of the little cash substitutes was red, white, or blue. Seldom made from wood in modern times, the value of a blue chip came to be 10 times that of a red chip. From table to table, monetary equivalents of chips can vary widely. Whether a blue chip is treated as worth a dime or $1,000, it outranks red and white. Stock market investors who put their money on securities, considered to be the most valuable, pride themselves on holding on to blue chip stocks. Yes.
Okay.
Even though they may never have taken part in the game of poker. Well, there you go.
All right, I learned something new.
So it's a blue chip day.
I mean, I've heard the term, but never really realized
the connections.
The connections.
Yeah. So now that you're in,
yes.
Is it what surprises have you found so far? There always are.
There's always surprises. Fortunately, I had a good mentor in Mari Wilson. It was the prior assessor. I was in the office for 15 years, so I had the experience and moving through the different ranks. So I had
basic
foundation. Now it's like all of a sudden, you know, the budget's on me now. You know, I got to make updates. How am I going to update the office, staffing, and so those are some of the pitfalls that I are trying to avoid, but unfortunately, we will probably find some bumps in the road.
Now, staffing, you guys have got a personnel department.
Correct.
And director, so there's certain things you don't have to worry about.
Correct.
And certain things you do have to worry about. As an elected, what are some of the things that you have influence on?
Well, I mean, being elected, I'm not really, we're governed by the Board of Supervisors and stuff, but being an elected official, there's only so much they can govern.
Right.
So we do have control over our staffing.
Oh, so you are able to make the final call?
We do make a...
Okay.
Years ago, the county process was a little bit more cumbersome for the departments because you didn't have a lot of say in who you were going to interview. Where now the departments themselves are more involved in that process. And even though the HR department, Human Resources, does initial screening of potential candidates, we have the ultimate say in the end and can able to.
So even if they decline somebody, if you were
looking
at them.
Well, they have to meet the minimum requirements.
Well, yeah, I understand that's something that's in place now in the county.
Yes.
So you, as long as somebody does that initial filter or passes through that.
Correct.
Then even if they say, you're able to go, well, I'm interested in that person and bring him into the interview process.
Somewhat. I mean, there are some restrictions to that. But, yeah, we do have a lot more say in who we want to interview and if we want to do additional interviews. You know, so we have the power to do that.
So, as you know, everybody always wants to put their stamp on. And everybody's always afraid to change a good thing.
Right.
So there's that tension that's there.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of small little things that you're looking to kind of fine-tune initially?
Yeah. Well, a couple of the things I'm looking at is trying to more automate our processes. We're still kind of old school paper, hard copy, you know, whether it's property, sales comps, you know, things that we have old books and stuff that we still use. And we're looking at ways to automate that, be a little bit more efficient. The other one is hopefully if we can get some funding for is the way we process our recorded deeds and ownership changes. Right now, we're semi-electronic, but not completely. There is some software out there that we can use to implement that other counties have that may speed up that process. Right now, we have three staff that we process in the neighborhood of 7,000 deeds per year. And so, unfortunately, we do have a backlog of about 4 months of deeds that we're processing. And this is one of the things I'm trying to work on right now. And hopefully, if we can get this software implemented, it'll decrease that backlog and hopefully get us a month, a couple weeks behind versus 4 or 5 months.
Which is normal.
Which would be normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is 7,000 off a lot, or is it because there's just a lot of purchasing and changing going on right now and pushing forward developments and things that it's kind of an extraordinary window?
I would say a typical year would be about 6,000, but I think with the current market recently, I mean, with the interest rates increasing, it's kind of slowing things down. But it was going gangbusters out there for a while. And there was a lot of property transfers, so that increase. And there's other things that happen. People die, things like that.
Yeah, but they die every year.
For some reason, we've seen an influx.
Really?
Well, maybe, I don't know why.
That could be a reflection of the area graying.
You know, it could be, yeah.
Unless it was like a 90-degree angle kind of thing.
Yeah, it was an increase, which and that does slow us down processing deeds as well.
Yeah. Are there things that make it more challenging because people don't complete things properly?
Getting the paperwork, and so that delays everything. Sometimes if we don't know that someone's passed, and then all of a sudden it somehow we get. So they sell the property. We didn't even know the person, the prior owner, had passed away. You know, we have to back up, say, well, what happened here? You know, who got the property? You know,
oh, that kind of good stuff.
So things like that occur. So
we'll talk about some of the other challenges that they run into. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the newly minted Humboldt County Assessor, Howie Leahy. Howie, as you look at some of these challenges, you had said sometimes you haven't been apprised of new folks that have purchased property.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of is there, or the tax bill keeps it, you know, in the family. Or when someone dies,
mm-hmm.
you're not made aware of that because it certainly goes to somebody else.
Right.
Is that prevalent? Is that just something that we don't think too much about? Because, okay, here comes a tax bill, you pay it, and you're...
Yeah.
Particularly if it's an impounded one.
Right.
You know, so you really never even see it.
Yeah. A lot of times people don't realize, families don't realize that they're supposed to notify our office when someone's passed, if they've owned property in our county. We had one where the property had been in the family for years, and they just paid the tax bills, and found out the original owner died in 1920. And you know, 80 years later, you know, it just went from one family member to the other. And so that one was an extreme.
So what does that do, either for the current property owner, or what does that do for you guys?
Well, one, for us, it makes us a lot more work because we have to reach out to try to find out who are the heirs of the property. So we have to reach out to them to try to find out, you know, when the state of California, dead people cannot own property. And so
what, in other states you can?
I don't know about other states. Oh, I just know about California. that they're supposed to notify our office within 150 days after someone has passed. And people don't know that. And
yeah, with that, you know, with all the other stuff that goes on, I'm trying to think who would be the common point. Here are the things you have to do legally. Ding, 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 ding. And the checklist. I mean, if you had property, it doesn't mean you're selling it. So if you're not selling it, it's not.
Right.
I guess we'd be triggered with a death certificate, huh?
So that's the biggest indicator. Point? You know, yeah. We do get copies of death certificates when folks pass. But if they pass outside of the county, we don't get it.
So if they're in, say, Trinity County.
And they passed away in Trinity County, we would not.
Trinity County gets it, but not anybody else.
Humboldt would not. And so we wouldn't know that.
And Trinity County wouldn't know if they own property in Humboldt or Mendocino.
They would not.
Is there a statewide clearinghouse for that? I would think that might
not
make it
not that
a
we're
bit
aware,
easier.
Not that we're aware of. That's one of the things that the California Assessors Association has recently got a JPA together, and they're going to get some grants from the state of California. There's $10 million for the next 3 years, so $30 million total.
That's got to be enough to put a system together like
that.
That would be,
those are kind of some of the kind of like a statewide portal that the counties can share information with between them. And
because if it's not happening here, you know, it's not happening in a whole bunch of other places.
Exactly.
As well.
And so as association, we are looking at and the funding that we're getting is for IT related projects.
Oh, so that's right. You're in the bullseye on this one.
Yes.
So. Cool. Cool. And so the AI or the automated software that you're looking for, is that more for consistency's sake? Is that more for tying into the state level? Is that to relieve some of the pressures on the staff that currently exist and accessed by the public? I mean, there's a whole bunch of different
possibles. I would say all of the above.
Okay.
The biggest thing is efficiency with the different county assessors in their offices. Being able to be able to share information amongst us, like going back to the example of someone dying in another county, that's something potentially that could be shared between the county assessors.
Sure, and that would make everybody's job a little bit simpler and easier.
And then with the last pass of Prop 19 and the parent-to-child exclusions, that has changed the system completely in the way that is being tracked and processed. So that's another one that we're looking at to being able to share information a little bit more efficiently between the different counties.
I would suspect that a lot of folks, if they voted on a proposition affecting the assessors or property, they probably have forgotten it very quickly. It doesn't involve guns and crime, and it doesn't involve paychecks and taxes.
Right.
Well, okay, and we move on.
Yep.
So with 19, it obviously does impact a lot of people.
It does, and people didn't realize when they voted on it.
So where is that in the progression of being implemented?
It's implemented now, and unfortunately, even a lot of attorneys aren't really clear. When the Prop 19 was first passed, it wasn't very well defined, and the proposition, in my personal opinion, wasn't very well written, and it came down to now the county assessors had to figure out all the gray areas.
Now what?
you know, kind of thing. And I think as a group, we've done really well as defining as well as working with the state to define some of those, a lot of those gray areas. And people didn't realize that when what they were voting on, because the way it was marketed, it was a fire relief thing, and underneath it was a intergenerational transfer. It changed completely, and so
With those changes, Howie, should people be re-evaluating their wills and their trusts and things of that nature? I mean, is that fundamental?
Yes, there are some ways to alleviate some of that financial burden on your heirs if you should pass. But unfortunately,
I think it's more of a win.
Yeah.
Not an if.
Yeah.
just a thought.
Right. But they, unfortunately, unless it's your principal residence and your heirs are going to make it their principal residence, it doesn't qualify.
Well, we'll talk about some of the details on that when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Howie Leahy, Humboldt County Assessor. Howie, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Prop 19 and that there are impacts to families, but that a lot of folks really don't know what that impact really means. So take a typical, and can you kind of walk us through that example?
Well, let's go. I think the easiest way is to define the difference is going back to prior to Prop 19 being passed. If I own my principal residence and I own rental properties or commercial properties, I could transfer those to my kids without them being reassessed, up to $1 million worth of assessment. And my principal residence wasn't included in that $1 million, only my other properties that were not my principal residence. With the passing of Prop 19, that totally changed. The only properties that can be transferred without a reassessment is the principal residence of the parent, and it has to become the principal resident of the child, or one of the, if there's multiple kids, at least one of them has to make it their principal residence.
So, okay, I can use dad dies, mom's already dead. Okay, property, round figures, let's say it's worth $1,000, or is $1 million easier for you to work with them? It doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay. $1,000. They have no interest. None of the kids, spouses, grandkids, great-grandkids, nobody wants it. It's sitting there. Okay. So, and let's make it, it's out of the area, so it's not even local. So we've got our property. We go to sell it. Now, prior to it being sold, it needs to be reassessed, taxed at that level.
Correct.
The tax paid,
correct.
From date of death to date of sale,
correct.
Or transfer?
You are correct.
Sounds like the real estate community has got a little bit more work, and the title companies have got a little bit more work also.
A little bit more work and a little bit more income.
Yeah.
For their fees.
Right, yeah, for the time spent, yeah. Is it a big chunk? Now, let's move it out to that $1 million home because that's probably more applicable out of the
area.
Yeah,
I mean, if you had a $1 million home, let's just say that was being assessed at $100,000, and
mom and dad had been there for a long time.
They've been there for a long time. They pass away. It's worth $1 million on the market right now. It gets reassessed for that $1 million at the date of their death, and the heirs are responsible for those taxes. Until the date that it sells.
the heirs are, or let's say if
the
it's
estate.
A,
we'll just call it the estate.
I was thinking
the
trust, or you know,
yeah, the
or if one person was selected and they're getting that property, and the others are getting other resources.
You know, if it's a trust, you have a successor trustee. Okay. You know, whoever you know is
the responsible party
responsible
for that property.
For that property. Whoever pays it, they would be liable for it.
Well, I would think that that could end up being a fairly surprisingly high hit. You know, if it was something like that, that had increased tenfold.
Yes.
Okay. And just as things seem to take time, 6 months to a year is probably
right.
normal. So you got a full chunk, not only of what was existing that you might be anticipating,
right?
But now times 10 times whatever the value up is. That could be kind of halfway shocking for some folks.
Yes. You'd be surprised. People are like, wow, it's not worth that much. Well, we show you the comps. Everything in the area is selling for, you know, $1 million, you know.
Right. So, right. The real estate folks would probably be able to support that also.
Yeah. I mean, the real
plus
estate,
or minus,
the real estate community is, you know, more in tune with property values and stuff. So, yeah. If anybody ever gets in a situation like that and they're concerned about what the value of their property, they can always contact a real estate firm and they can run comps for you. And I think most of the firms will do that without charging you for it.
Right.
So even if your own property, if you want to know, I mean, our office won't do it unless there's for property tax purposes.
A reason?
Yeah.
But
there's other avenues of doing that. Like I said, you know, most real estate firms will run sales comps for you to give you an idea what your property's worth.
So you still may have the sticker shock, but it may not come as a total and complete shock.
Right. At least you know what you're getting into.
Yeah. So just reassessing property has kind of become a little bit more dynamic than what it has been historically also.
Yeah, I mean, we you know, back, you know, when cannabis was first legalized and we saw the property values skyrocket, to properties that were selling for $400,000 prior, were selling for $3 million afterwards. And, you know, and then now we've seen that unfortunately, that cannabis market, how it is really struggling right now.
The whoops factor, yeah.
And so we're seeing a lot of those values coming back down to, which is more reasonable probably where they should be.
Now, if you're not going to have your property sold, can you still ask to have it reassessed?
Yeah, if your property, if you believe your property is being is overassessed.
Well, like our marijuana grower scenario.
If you had a property that your current assessment say $1 million, and you think it's only $500,000. You know, you can definitely request our office do a review and see if what the market is. Once your base year value is set,
after what?
Your base year value. So when you purchase a property, you get reassessed, and that establishes your base year value. And then with the consumer price index increases up to 2% every year, so you'll see your property value slowly increase over the years. And if you believe that assessed value, your base year value is too high based on what the market is, then you can request that we reassess it.
Or the neighborhood or whatever might happen.
Yeah, and so we will review the property, and if we can justify that it is currently being overassessed, then we'll temporarily reduce it to whatever the market is at that time.
And then come back. In 5 years kind of thing?
No, we review it annually. And
everybody's?
No, just the ones that are it's called Prop 8, decline in market value. And if you're on that Prop 8 decline in market value, then we'll review it annually. And once it either meets or exceeds your original base year value, what we just talked about, then it comes off of that Prop 8 and you go back to whatever that base year value is.
So with our marijuana buddy, if it's half value and that half, it's $500,000, you're going to be seeing them on a pretty regular basis.
Potentially.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Unless something really goofy happens and it skyrockets again.
Yeah, or then they resell it or something. The property sells.
That's right. So when it resells, then it gets reset, and that becomes
it,
that becomes that new base year value. All right, I got it out. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We will be back with more from Apple.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Howie Leahy from the Humboldt County Assessor's Office. Biggest surprise about what the Assessor's Office does?
For me, good question.
All right, let's start with this.
There's a lot of surprises.
Yeah, that sweeping up the floor after the end of the day thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say that trying to manage, before being assessor, I managed, you know, a staff of about 9, but now I'm responsible for 30. And so that's been a little bit more
orders of magnitude
challenging. I got to kind of refocus and making sure that I'm paying attention to not just this group, but the whole group.
I believe, and it seems to have been borne out an awful lot, is that when you go up, you like to do what you were doing.
That is correct.
But that's no longer possible. So learning how to either reset what is satisfying for you,
right,
or what's best for the organization.
Exactly.
And just, it takes a while.
It takes a while. And you've hit the nail on the head there, because things that you know, that's what you want to continue to do. It's the things you don't know. It's like, wow, how am I going to figure this out? I would say that's probably the biggest challenge for me. There are areas in the office that I'm not completely familiar with, and I have to rely on the staff that are in that area.
Which isn't a bad thing.
No. And so
it's just a different thing.
Yeah. And so I have to, you know, kind of retrain myself. And so that's been, sometimes I guess you can
dog's tricks.
Do a new dog, a new trick, or whatever, however that saying is, an old dog, a new trick.
Yeah, a young dog, an old trick. That's kind of where I get lost with it. I mean, it just takes time to be able to get that stuff together. And I would suspect that in knowing others throughout the state that have gone, you know, I mean, everybody goes through that process.
Yes.
Unless you're just totally new to the office and everything is brand new. That there's some sympathies out there, and they need some hand-holding for you and some attaboys, and you'll be able to work through it.
Right. The nice thing is the California Assessors Association. It's a group that we belong to, and it's exactly what you talked about.
It's not called CA, is it?
CAA.
Oh, okay, good. There's an extra one.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great group, because there are some of the assessors have been in that position for years, and it's great to be able to, hey, you know, here's my situation. Have you encountered this?
How did you deal with it?
You know, so that's really nice to be able to.
But you've got some rurals in there also, the Dinkerdoo counties. So you have that as a reference point also.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we work with Del Norte County Assessor. Same with Mendocino, Trinity County, you know, we're all kind of...
Versus LA got a budget of commas and zeros
and they have staff that specialize in certain areas, where we have staff to have to specialize in multiple areas.
Generalists a little bit more.
Yes.
But to know who to call if you need.
Exactly.
Huge.
Yeah. And it's been great, because it has been very helpful in being able to run across scenarios and get some feedback on how they handled it.
I would think the other thing that is a benefit is you know who you got.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't know what they do, but you know how they do it.
Right.
Who to ask questions of.
Yes.
Yeah, just the fine-tuning stuff, not the big stuff. Right. Just the fine-tuning.
Yes.
That's... You'll get it in time, but those are resources there that you've got within the department already that a lot of folks don't have.
Yes, that is true. And we're able to work with each other. You know, I like to say that we're all in this together. And we figure out how, you know, we do the...
Don't use that boat analogy.
Well, I mean, when I say that, because we are so... we have so many tax laws that we have to, you know, state laws that we have to follow. And so they do get tweaked at times. And so in interpretation, and so not only do we have our county, you know, our council that we can refer to, but we have other assessor's offices that we can work together with.
It sounds like you guys have got a lot of lunch parties where you just stand around and talk. Yeah. Which
at
makes
times.
A ton of sense.
That
would
times,
be the way
yes.
to go.
Yes.
Well, way to go.
All right.
Got
well,
the new card. You got the new picture. Everything's all happy, happy.
Yes.
All
so
right.
far, so good.
Let's knock it out of the park this year. Thanks
all
for
right.
coming by, Howie.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.